Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
In some countries, foraging for wild mushrooms is as popular as fishing in the U.S. But now, a growing number of novice foodies here are flocking to workshops on mushroom hunting and cooking. To find out what fuels their passion, New England Public Radio's Susan Kaplan takes us on an expedition to the hills near Amherst in western Massachusetts.
It's one of this summer's most beautiful afternoons. The air washed by a recent heavy rainfall. About a dozen of us meet in a parking lot in Leverett. And before we take off, our guides, Ari Rockland Miller and his wife, Jenna Antonino Damari, hand out something they call a Northeastern Forage Cast, a cheat sheet detailing which wild mushrooms we are likely to see at this point in the season. I asked Jenna how she got into the wild mushroom business.
We started this as really a hobby about 4 or 5 years ago. A friend suggested to us that we start a mushroom foraging blog. Ari was talking our friend's ear off. He was talking my ear off about mushrooms. And so our friend suggested we start a blog. I said, what's a blog? And so anyways, that's how the mushroom forager really blossomed.
And we're off, finding a batch of oyster mushrooms pretty quickly, which Jenna says are notable by their aroma.
I find that they have a very distinctive anise smell, which I use as an ID feature. And even these rotting ones, I think, have it very faintly.
I passed on the smell the rotting mushrooms moment, but with names like Lion's Mane, King Strepharia, and Black Trumpet, there's something exotic about wild mushrooms. Still, for the entirely inexperienced forager like me, there's something scary. After all, tales of the poisonous varieties are mythic. Ari acknowledges the dangerous reputation, but then comforts us.
I don't think that you should have to get poisoned as, you know, part of your learning curve. So it's not an intrinsic risk. You can avoid it. And, you know, before you ever eat anything, you got to just make sure you're 100% sure. And there's a big difference between 100% and 99%. And once you get to that 100% confidence level, you'll know it.
As we wind our way through the woods, Ari and Jenna scout for mushrooms and answer questions.
So when you're harvesting, do you not want to take everything?
Yeah, so we're very mindful about sustainable harvest and not taking everything. Mushrooms are a fruit. They're not the organism. So the mycelium, which is under the soil, is the organism itself. So it's more analogous to picking an apple off of a tree than it is to uprooting the tree when you harvest a mushroom.
And as if finding out that mushrooms are a fruit isn't surprising enough, Ari says many mushrooms that we think are totally different are really just one type morphing into another.
Portobello, cremini, and button mushrooms are all the same species. They're just different stages. The button is the smallest and the portobello is more mature. Also, even the same mushroom under different environmental conditions, like if it gets different amounts of light or different temperature or different CO2 levels, can look different.
Seriously, who knew? About a half hour into our adventure, the group starts to get chatty. Jennifer Wallace tells me she's here because her partner loves wild mushrooms.
She has foraged and found things in the woods that I've said, no way, I'm not eating that. But she insists they're good, and so now if I get a little more education, I might be more brave.
Have you eaten anything she's found?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we ate a bunch of this one kind, which is called hen of the woods or chicken of the woods or something. And I spent the day with her with armloads of them, bringing them home, grumbling. But anyway, they ended up being good.
One thing we see on the hike are the mushrooms' varying shapes, sizes, and colors. But to me, I like mushrooms, but they can taste kind of bland. So I asked Ari if each variety has a unique flavor.
Very different. I'd say that their taste ranges as widely as vegetables range in flavor or fruits. I mean, there's the chanterelle, for example, has a singular apricot flavor and almost floral or fruity aroma.
I mean, but like for somebody who doesn't eat wild mushrooms too often, are they going to really know the difference?
I think even an amateur would be able to tell the difference. Yeah, anyone with a
okay, maybe I'll put that to the test.
Right.
At the end of the forage, Ari and Jenna share the day's catch, and people seem eager to get back out into the woods to hone their new skills. They'll have plenty of time. Wild mushroom season has just begun, and in the Northeast goes well into September and October. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Susan Kaplan.